Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program for you, Two Guys with Heart. Normally, you're accustomed to hearing my good friend Dave Colonen step up into the plate by now and saying hello and greeting you as well. However, today, we have a pinch hitter for Dave. We have one of our board members from Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, Mr. Dan Martin, is with us today. Dan, say hello to our listeners.
It's good to be here, Giff.
Oh, it is great. We had you on the airwaves here recently. We're going to do it again today. You've provided some valuable insight. Dave is still recuperating. We'll tell you more about that as time goes on, because we don't have all the answers ourselves just yet. But we are gracious to have someone of the caliber of Dan Martin being able to fill it in. Dan is a Christian-based gentleman who has his heart in Christian radio, and he works diligently to help us stay on the airwaves. We at Cumberland Valley Christian Radio have a working board. We're not just some people who sit back and say yes or no to some problems and issues that come up. We are the ones that are doing the work, and we are all busy leading initiatives, doing things like Sunday hymn sings and annual banquets and newsletters and all of those functions that you hear about us going on at the Cumberland Valley Christian Radio all come from these working board members. And Dan is one of those key people who takes care of many of those tasks that that you know about. So today we're going to talk about the duties of parenting. And that's a valuable subject. Not everyone is a parent, but everyone has some kind of responsibility. If you don't have your own children, you know other people do, family and friends that do have children, and you need to be able to relate to these people. I can't think of anything more sensitive than guiding our children into the future. How are they going to live? What's their thought process? How do they develop good character? And what represents kindness? And how do they develop these attributes? Well, that's called parenting. It's more than meets the eye, isn't it? It's not just a matter of putting a roof over their head and food on the plate. It's a lot more than that. What does the Bible tell us? Well, there's actually quite a few places. In Deuteronomy really is kind of sets the stage in the Old Testament. And it says a lot of things, like chapter 6, verse 6 reads, "And these words which I command these days shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So, in other words, the scriptures are telling us, you're the parent all the time. When you're with those children, you're all the time responsible for their livelihood. And no matter what, they can be seated, they can be standing, it doesn't matter. You are still responsible for their kindness. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write up them upon the post of thy house and thy gates." That's also read out of Deuteronomy. And these are scriptural based messages for us to keep our children. "And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." So all of these rules and regulations that we have and we're to teach our children, write them down. I mean, that's what the Bible is telling us, to write them down. Teach them to your children and speak of them when you sitteth in thy house and when you're walking with them, when you're lying down and when you're rising up. In other words, all of the time you're to be working with your children. Dan, I know that you've done your share of inspiring other people, rather be through a Sunday school class or from the pulpit or just being a parent. Do you have any thoughts and processes that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I think we should have an attitude 24/7 I mean, it says basically all day, and that is that we acknowledge the power of God and the miracles of God, the importance of showing our children how to follow God and respect God, because the time will come when they do get married and move away, and if we haven't done it before then, obviously it was too late. So you should, you know, as you have opportunities, make sure that you, and make opportunities so you can express to your children the importance of understanding God and His Word and the importance thereof. If you always have an attitude and you look for opportunities to express them, then I think it's a good thing for children to observe.
Very good. That's a positive outlook. What's it say about discipline in the Bible? Boy, if you look at Proverbs, when they're talking about children, there's a lot of things. Some of it's pretty strong words, in fact, about how to discipline your children. You know, things like, a beating with a rod, and I shall deliver him from his soul. Well, you know, that might be a little firm, but I like the softer approach. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. That's Proverbs chapter 22. Looking down further in the scriptures, looking to Proverbs verse 29, it says things like, "The rod and a reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." In other words, they need correction, and they have to do that. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." So if you're correcting your children, they are listening, they are learning, and they are developing, and they don't know right from wrong if you don't show them some discipline. And that's very important. The Bible tells us that. How many children do you have, Dan? Do you have?
Well, we have four living, and we buried one.
You lost a child. Yes. Well, in your four living children, can you give us any pearls of wisdom on raising those children? Was there anything that stands out in your mind as an absolute thing I should do, or I regret doing this, be the positive or negative?
Well, I think when it says, you know, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him shall chasten him." I think that it is good to have the opportunity to use a rod in any event you have to. But I think that it's very important to make sure you establish boundaries and you never discipline or punish a child for something that they weren't told what was right. But what I think is the most power, and that is, I learned this myself, and that is, if a child has done something wrong, take them to another room so that you're not embarrassing them in front of the family. Uh-huh. Take them to the next room and speak very slowly and very quietly. Because if a parent loses control, then they've kind of lost most of the benefit of any kind of discipline. And so the important thing to do, and what I've learned and think it works well, and is take them to another room and you very quietly say, and slowly you say, "Didn't I tell you that you weren't supposed to do this? And what would happen if we did?" And then after a while, they will admit, "Well, you told me that you would spank me." And, you know, you have the opportunity to say, "Now, look, I really, really don't want to spank you, but I just think it's very important that you learn to do this, or you don't do that, or whatever the case may be." And sometimes I would spank and sometimes I wouldn't. But, I've observed parents that just as soon as they saw their child do the least thing wrong, they would holler and scream at the top of their lungs and use their entire name that's on the birth certificate. And that's, I think, it's a horrible way to do it.
Yes, it is.
And, but if you can take them out of the family situation and just very quietly express what you're trying to do and let them know you really do love them. And the longer it is from the time that they know something might happen until it does. And of course, that's why if you speak slowly, because they're not sure really whether or not they're going to get the rod, but they have a long time to think about it and the seriousness of what they've done. And it's much easier to train a 3 or 4 year old than it is once you have a rebellious 17-year-old. That there's times that ends up happening that the parents do not use the rod and the children do not know how to obey, and then they violate the laws of the land and find themselves in front of a judge and then get sent to jail, and that's just a horrible way to learn.
Yes.
It's much better to teach them, you know, at the age of 2, 3, or 4.
Very good. You know, you should have been on the radio this morning. The lady that's on the Cumberland Valley Christian Radio at 10 o'clock, she was on this morning, and she shared some thoughts very similar to what you just shared. She was talking about disciplining her children, And she said when her daughter was young and small, she had a little song that she would sing. And I'll paraphrase it. I don't remember exactly how she said it. But something to the point is, my mother is so kind and loving. Whenever she says no, if I just say please, 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 she will give in. And her point was, when you say no to a child, you have to mean it. And you have to let them firmly know that no means no, and they can't talk you out of it. She said that was the mistake that she made. She was too good-hearted to her children. And when you're disciplining your children, it doesn't have to be as my father disciplined me. Was very firm. I'll just say that and let it go at that. But a little snap on the shoulder is discipline enough to let the children know that you were upset or disappointed that they made such a mistake. And that is enough to let them know that they shouldn't do that. And that's discipline enough at times. So it doesn't have to be taking a rod and breaking a rod over their back. And that might be a figure of speech to use that indicating that a little snap on the shoulder from your finger snap might be just as effective as removing your belt the way the previous generation did to me. Mm. I'll put it that way.
and different yes. children need different levels of discipline.
Yes, exactly.
And I think if you can develop the respect between parent and child, and if you can go to your child and say, I was really disappointed that you did this.
Yes.
And so you can try to get them to understand the importance of yes. being respected and honored by, you know, that your parent mm-hmm. loves, you know,
yeah.
what you're doing. And you don't want to violate that respect. Sometimes that's all it takes, too.
Yes, that's right. These are very important subjects, and I think we've probably made that point pretty clear to our listeners that you have to say what you mean what you say, and discipline without getting carried away. All those are very important processes to remember. How about let's take a shift gears here from the mothers onto the fathers and look at some of the responsibilities. And what does the Bible say about the duties of the husband and fathers, and what are we to do? Well, there's a various thoughts processes there. Ephesians chapter 5 has all. If you're looking for a place, turn to Ephesians and see what it says about that issue. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find all those verses written there very tactfully. And you know, if I can condense that into a few sentences, it means husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. You have responsibilities to each other, and you have duties to each other, and you are united as one, and show the utmost respect to one another on a routine basis. And that's probably what, if you're going to convert that to plain English that we understand today, that's what that means. Cherish this family and nurture your family. All of these things are very important, husband and wife, and a father to children, wives to children, mothers to children. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians chapter 5, once again, that's a follow-on later on in that chapter, starting in verse 28. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. That is really how we need to nourish each other, thinking of ourselves, husband and wives, as one unit. And that's very powerful scripture, and I think most of our listeners have probably heard that scripture before. But you never know when we might have just touched somebody with that thought process today. Love comes without bitterness. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. That's right out of the scriptures, Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Understanding respect and honor. What does 1 Peter say about respect and honor? In the third chapter, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers are not being hindered. So we pray for one another, and we live and respect and honor one another. Dan, I know that your wife is just a super lady. I've dealt with her and spoke to her on many occasions. Do you have any, I know that you personally believe in honoring your wife because I've seen it in action. Any words that you'd like to share with our listeners on that very issue?
Well, the last phrase you read from 1 Peter was, that your prayers be not hindered. And, of course, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our sins, basically in the same way we forgive other people. So if we if we hold grudges or do not forgive our wife for failing from time to time like all humans do, you know, our prayers will probably be hindered because we haven't forgiven them. And so, you know, God expects us to be as forgiving to other people in little sins as he forgives us for the big sin of just being a sinner and falling from God's glory. We're all subject to the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, we're all born in sin. So, you know, it's important, you know, for a husband and wife to get together, to be together and live in peace as one unit. It's a great witness, of course, to the world. But it's also a situation you'll live longer and you'll be happier. There's enough negative points in any of us to have disagreements. But there's enough good parts in everybody to live together if you look at the good parts and try to overlook some of the bad things that that some of us do. We all have bad habits, you know, and weakness and frailties. We all have to remember that if we see it in our spouse, we probably have just as many, maybe more. And, you know, if we expect them to forgive us and to overlook our weaknesses, we obviously have to forgive them and overlook the weaknesses that they have.
Oh, thank you, Dan. You're an inspirational person to listen to. I appreciate your words. To teach and to lead is something that husband and wives always try to accomplish with one another. What does the Bible say about it? In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." That's verse 34. In other words, ladies, don't be afraid to ask your husbands for advice. What does the scriptures mean? It tells us right that. I remember reading that. Paul's talking about an orderly church service and how do we do that. And so there's nothing wrong with having the ladies asking their husbands to interpret some scriptures if they're not sure what it means, and vice versa. What's the 35th verse say? "And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak out and say something during a service." So, in other words, be discreet about it, and don't try to embarrass or belittle anybody, but ask your questions privately. Not to provoke children into anger. We don't want to do that. Colossians chapter 3 says that, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Duties of the wives and the mothers. We looked at the fathers, now how about we look at the wives and the mothers? Submission, that's what the Bible talks about that. Well, that's a piece of it, but there's a whole story there, not just a one-liner. "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord." We read that verse earlier out of Ephesians chapter 5. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So husbands and wives have to work together, and she is to be submissive to her husband, but then the husband is to love her wife the same as he would love the Lord. So this is powerful scripture. In other words, it works both ways. It's not just a one-sided. You can't just read one verse and let it go. That's not the way it works. "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord." That's out of Colossians chapter 3:18. So there are things that cross-reference from Ephesians to Colossians and vice versa. "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." That's out of Colossians, also in chapter 3, verse 20. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So that relates to what Dan was talking about earlier. You're alluding to those thoughts. Any additional words in that area, Dan?
Well, the one thing is in Colossians 3:21, it emphasizes fathers. You know, fathers, provoke not your children to anger or to wrath, as it's written somewhere else. Lest they become discouraged. That's the one thing that, you know, men can sometimes let the authority that they have get the best of them, and that's when we have to look up to Ephesians 5:23, when it says that even though we're described as the head of the wife, we also recognize that Christ is the head of us.
That's right.
And so we are accountable for the family to Christ, and so it should behoove us to be very careful about the way we use our leadership capabilities. There's another Bible verse says, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And, of course, Adam and Eve both sinned, but when God came to earth, he went straight to Adam. And he said, Adam, where are you? Which was kind of funny because God knew where Adam was,
sure.
But Adam, of course, was hiding. But then, of course, Adam did what's natural. He blamed Eve, and then Eve did what's natural. She blamed the snake.
That's
and,
right.
And like one jokester said, and then the snake, well, snake didn't have a leg to stand on. So, but it is important that husbands recognize that when they're given this authority, they must be very, very careful in how they exercise it. Because if they abuse it, they will be held accountable to God for that abuse.
That's exactly right. I thank you for sharing those. Those are valuable thoughts. How about reverence for one another? Ephesians has a nice verse that I like to read about the reverence. In fact, it's Ephesians chapter 5 again. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she is reverent for her husband. So that's powerful. In other words, it goes both ways. First Peter again has a verse on about reverence as well. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any of amazements. So in other words, you're going to see dramatic things happen in your lifetime. Show reverence both ways. Sarah to Abraham and Abraham to Sarah. That's the same thing today that we have learned from years and years and years of history past. Love families. Keep your home and be discreet. Titus has a lot of scripture written about that subject. But speak thou the things which become a sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, give temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, and not false accusers and given much wine, and teachers of good things. Titus is talking about how we keep our family strong and firm. It tells us that. Titus chapter 2, looking at now at verse 4, they that may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedience in their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded.
When we look at Titus 2:4, that women, you know, that older women would teach young women to be sober, love their husbands and love their children. And I think even before that, you know, they should teach their women to hold a high standard, you know, in a dating relationship, in courtship, because, you know, if it's up to the women, based on George Gilder's book, women should hold a high standard for the guys, because the guys, you know, can fall if they're going out with a woman who does not have high standards. And so that's some of the important things that I think we can learn in our society today. And it's much more of a challenge now than it was maybe 100 years ago, but it's something that we should follow.
Thank you. Dan, there's so much material for us to talk about in these interpersonal relationships between husband and wife. But as you can well imagine, the clock on the wall tells us that we've run out of time once again. But the honor relationship between husband and wife is very sacred. And the Bible is full of scriptures that point to us and tells us exactly how we are to function under all kinds of conditions. So I sincerely would encourage our listeners to read the Holy Scriptures and admire and respect and adore your spouse wherever you might be. For now, we have to say bye-bye, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Bye now.